Psalms 23, familiar passage. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified. After hearing the word of truth, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Father, we just decrease, I decrease that you may increase. I step back, you step forward. Do what you do, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 23, I don't even have a lot, I don't think, we'll see. I actually was going to do something else, and then I felt led to do this, not this morning, but actually late last night. So I'll say the other stuff for later if the Lord give me permission, then I'll teach that too. But Psalms 23, say I'm there when you're there. Amen. Amen. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. Amen. So I shall not want. That comes with maturity, knowing that God done came through other times, he gonna come through this time. So I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. But you know, sometimes you can be in a place where you don't think you deserve it, and the Lord had to make you lie down in green pastures. Tell somebody around you, say, the Lord wanna be good to you.
The Lord be good to you.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. We're going to deal with that. This passage right here, number 3, verse 3, shortly. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, where? Well, sometimes God will make your enemies watch you eat and they can't do nothing about it. Thou anointest my head with oil. Say, they can't do nothing about it. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall do what? All the days of your life. And then you'll do what? You know, the blessings of God never lead you away from the house of God. If it leads you away from God, that's the devil was behind that. If it's God, it leads you to God. You can have your seat. And so I want to deal with this thought. I'm glad I lived through it. I'm glad I lived through it. So much goes on in your life that make you want to give up on life and give up on people and just give up in general sometime. I know you probably ain't never been there. But you got to live through it. If you live through it, God will ensure that you are able to tell somebody else about it. And it's only very few things when God bring you out of something that you still shame about it. You don't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing to you. I ain't telling you got to tell everybody your people, your business. Don't be no dumb. But if it come out, it just come out. If you got it on tape, it's just on tape. I'm going to own what happened, but I'm also going to acknowledge that God is a deliverer. But I'm not going to be running from my, tell your neighbor, say, don't run from your past no more. You live through it. And because you live through it, you should have something to say. I don't understand nonverbal Christians that won't communicate anything. Everything about them is a big secret. It's a secret because they haven't really figured out what they say they live through. And we're gonna deal with that to help you get to a point to where you can talk about it. If other people discover it, you can talk about it. If the devil trying to shame you, say, I can talk about it. And I can explain to you what I took from it. It's a sad commentary when you go through life and you take nothing away from what you went through. It's a sad commentary. I'm going to deal with that in a little bit because, you know, one thing you're going to learn as you live this life of faith, it changes you. The life of faith changes you. It's not all about the glitter and the glam. It's not all about the cars and the houses. It ain't all you got to have is good credit and a job. You can get anything on this planet you pretty much won't. If you work for it, you can get it. That ain't really nothing spectacular. That just means that you applied your human effort with God and God helped you somehow or favored you. But life and faith, this faith walk, it changes you. The truth of it is, I feel like I'm changing. You know, things that used to disturb me early in ministry, it don't bother me no more. Things that people used to do in ministry, it don't bother me no more. Things that people won't do, it don't bother me no more. Because this faith walk, it changes you. And I feel like I'm changing. Things that were so important to me as a young man don't even make my radar no more. Stuff that I was really in pursuit of, I can care less of as this stage in my life. If it happened, it happened. If it don't happen, I don't even care. It ain't even made my top 10 list no more, a lot of stuff. And the crazy thing about it, from the aspect of natural things, I could probably get it, any of it tomorrow if I wanted it, and I don't even want it no more. You understand? That's why you don't waste all your energy on superficial stuff in your youth, because as you grow and as you age, you'll be paying for something that ain't even important to you no more. It ain't even important no more. And so we all change and say we all changing. And the more trials you go through in this walk, watch this, it mellows your heart. You know, like people, this is the most super sensitive generation I think I've ever seen in my life. Everybody get offended by everything. You can't hardly say nothing. If you got soft skin, you ain't gonna survive around here. But just get offended about everything. You can't hardly say nothing to anybody, even if it's truth. Now, you would think that you would want the truth even if it was a hard truth. Because what's why? Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set you free. But it's because everybody is so super sensitive about everything. You can't hardly tell people this, but, you know, as you go through stuff in your life, it mellows you out. You, in essence, we see it like this. You don't trip about everything. Everything ain't no big deal. It's not enough. It's not important to get me upset. It's not enough to make me backslide. It's not enough to make me leave my wife or say it ain't enough no more. So when you think about it from this thing, it replaces aggression in your heart where you can be adamant about, this is why God says that vengeance is his and he'll repay. Because we can be aggressive about stuff that as you age, you should have mellowed out, and the mellowing out should have changed you. But if you still got the same aggression, then you ain't changed. And I'm gonna try to explain this the best way that I can. I'm not gonna move around a lot. I'm not gonna go to a lot of places today, but I think you're gonna get something if your heart is open. Is your heart open? The mellowness replaces the storms in you. You know, there are things in my life now that I can think back by. If it wasn't no videotapes, but if it was a videotape, they could play it and it wouldn't even bother me because the storm ain't in me. The devil can bring all kind of stuff to my mind. It don't bother me no more. And the deeper your struggle is, you got to know that God is trying to reveal something about you, about him to you through that struggle. We live in a fallen world, so we shouldn't be tripping about the fallen world. And so the one thing that we learned that through all that we've gone through, that Christ remained unchanged. Do you know what I mean by that? Out of all the stuff that I've been through, the only constant in my walk has been Christ. People have come and go. People are so fickle. People come and go all the time. Your health come and go. You can get money come and go. The only consistent thing in my life has been Christ, not family, not church people, not our occupation. Are you following what I'm saying? The only consistent, this is what I've learned. The only thing that's been consistent is Christ throughout my whole life. I can go back to 4 or 5 years old. See, this one, you know, when God's got his hand on you, there are things God showed me as a small kid. Dreams that I would had as a small kid, it took 40 years for it to become real to me. And I could tell it like it was yesterday, this morning. He's remained constant as a kid. To a teen, to a grown man, he's remained the same. And so when you can think from that angle, you want to know that God is still here for us. Say, God is still here. God is still here. Your latter years are important. That's why you got to live through where you're at right now. You won't understand certain stuff until you done lived all the way through it. Then you look back, and then we're going to figure out what God says to do it. And that's why Paul says my latter years are important. Paul says this. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. I put the ways of childhood behind me. Listen to me closely. Immaturity, natural and spiritual, is linked to a lack of growth. It's linked to a lack of growth. So when you think of it's linked to lack of growth, that means that it's closely related to us not learning, watch this, from things that we've gone through. So watch this. Minister Avery and I can go through the exact same things. But because we went through the exact same things, we're not the exact same person because we don't learn at the same rate, or we may not learn at all. So he could be totally mature in an area that I went through, but yet I'm still immature. Even though I went through it, I didn't live through it. Amen. Meaning that I'm celebrating what God did for me in it, and he's crying about it. I'm celebrating the fact that I didn't die because of it, and you talking about that I lost this in it, but you lived through it. And it's all about that person's maturing in God that sets the tone whether we can go through the same thing. So a lot of times people say, well, we didn't go through the same things. It ain't always about going through the same things. Is that what did you learn from what you went through? If you didn't learn from your experience, then your experience, watch this, it has value, but you don't give it value. It's important, but you don't deem it important. So therefore, you try to brush it off, but say, my latter years are going to be important to me. And I believe when you look at Psalms 23, that's what David is saying. David is in these green pastures now. See, you got to come out of stuff. God make you lie down in green pastures. And once you out of it, and you in your latter years, you can reflect back over your former years. And now you can see what God was doing. And David is reflecting on the storms of his life. Have you ever sat back and looked at the storms of your personal life? I'm telling you, I have. It's no sting in them to me. But I look back from the perspective of what did I learn from this? What is the value of this? And he's reflecting on his warfare. There are seasons that your life is tied to warfare. That the devil is attacking you. The devil is attacking you. The devil is taking from you. The devil is stealing from you. And then you can learn from it. How did you defeat him and how did you come out of it? Say, everything has value. And so David is looking at the times where he acted in rebellion. Anybody ever acted in rebellion? No, not before you came to God. I'm talking about since you've been born again. He's looking at the rebellion in his life, and now he's at a point to where he's sorrowful even for the crimes that he committed. You know the story. David commits adultery with Bathsheba. He has a child by Bathsheba. Bathsheba is pregnant, rather. David takes her husband, sends him out into battle, gives the man his own death certificate, sends him out into battle. This is his subordinate. He sends him out into battle. Somebody that's loyal to him. Loyal to his cause. And David said, hey, go and lay with your wife because he's going to try to cover it up. And he said, I can't do that. He's not only loyal to David, he's loyal to his men. I'm not going to be enjoying pleasure while y'all out there struggling. See, that's the mark of good leadership. A good leader won't take pleasure in enjoying things while everybody else is suffering and working. They kick back and chilling. No, say, we all in this together. And so now he's reflecting on his crimes. He done killed this man. And then the prophet comes and revealed it unto him. And David is in green pastures now. And he's reflecting on stuff that he did to. Have you ever reflected on the stuff that you did to people? Not the stuff that people did to you. Because we always want to pay people back, even though God say vengeance is mine. No, have you reflected on the stuff you did to people? The stuff you did to your relatives, the stuff you did to your wife or your husband, the stuff you did to the pastor. People always want to talk about what the pastor did to them. What have you done to them, other people? And we'll be so calloused about what we've done, harden ourselves to deaden ourselves to what we've done. And David is reflecting and it's weighing heavy on his heart. And he's in a green pasture now. He's enjoying life, but he's reflecting. Anybody ever been in a mess in your life? Your life was a mess. And you found yourself falling down. And when you fell down in God's presence. You fell down in a place where his grace was extended to you. And then God looked down, told you to get the mess cleaned up. And God said, now when you get the mess up, now I want you to get up. Tell somebody it's time for you to get up. God ain't out to get you. God ain't trying to harass you. God ain't trying. He said, what did you learn from what you went through? And then how can I use what you went through? He's all about using our lives, using our story, making our story his story, history, but it becomes his story. And this is how God gets the glory through our lives when we're not ashamed. I'm so glad I lived through it. I'm so glad I lived through everything that the devil did to me and I did to others. I still live through it. This is why God won't do stuff to some people that's wronged us. I think it's in Psalms. I can't remember the Psalms. I want to say 78, 79, somewhere there. But he says, when people start enjoying, when I'm correcting people who have wronged you, the minute you start enjoying it, God stops it.
Right.
Yes, sir. Because you shouldn't feel like that.
That's right.
When your mindset is get him, God, God stops it.
Yes.
So it could have been judgment that was due to him, and God stops the judgment because you was enjoying it. Now, their breakthrough becomes your penalty because you don't get to see anything. And then God does nothing to them but bless them because they fell down in his presence. Anybody glad that when you did your junk, you fell down in his presence and God felt fit to tell you to get up, tell somebody, say, get up. So you can get up right there. Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs 24 and 16 says that the righteous man does what? Falls down how many times? And he does what? He. 2 Corinthians 4 and 9 says this. He says you can be persecuted, but you don't have to feel forsaken. You can be struck down, but you don't have to be destroyed. Tell somebody to say, get up. And that's why God says in Micah, he tells Micah to tell his enemies, he says, don't rejoice over me, O my enemy. He said, for when I have fallen, I will arise. That's got to be your mentality. When you see people celebrating the fact that you didn't fall, say, you can keep on looking. I'm still God's child. And eventually he's going to tell me to get up. So get up right there.
Get up right there.
And so David done wandered off of this path. He had wandered off a path in his own personal life, and he's now getting back on the right path, and he begins to, watch this, he begins to write this Psalms out of spiritual renewal. He's changing. He's changing. You know, if you claim to be a Christian and ain't nothing changed about you, you got to get saved.
Yeah.
Or get your soul saved. See, a lot of times, church attendance ain't salvation. That's not salvation. Salvation is supposed to, when salvation shows up in our life, he redeems us. He buys us back. He restores us. When I say buy us back, he already done paid the ultimate price, which is his blood. So ain't the devil can't keep you if you don't want to be kept. God done paid the ultimate price. He can't keep you if you want to be kept, unless you want to be kept, brother. But he starts restoring. Once he gets us back, he starts working on restoring our soul. Brokenness. Hatred. You know you can have hatred in your heart and be shown up born again. That sounds like an oxymoron. You can't have hate in your heart. I'm positive to you can. I'm positive that you can go through stuff that can leave tentacles of hatred in you. That's why you don't use this platform to propagate hate, especially like towards people of color. It's not a white person or a black person problem. It's a humanity problem. It's a humanity problem without God problem. And a person that's without God is capable of doing anything, just like them black cops killed that black man. It wasn't white cops this time, because a people without God in their life can do anything. And people with God in their heart, if they resist God, they're capable of anything. And so we have to deal with this stuff, get this stuff out of our life when we wander off the path of righteousness and get back on the path. Say, get back on the path. And David, he begins to process these paths that he had went through in his own personal life. And God was leading him out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of the stuff that we are walking through is stuff we killed. But we still on our way out. Some of the stuff we destroyed, some of the stuff we messed up, some of the things we did, some of the places, some of the times anybody ever gave place to the devil in your life, tell the truth and shame the devil. I ain't talking about before you got saved. Amen. We gave place to him. And he took it. And so I'm going to explain to you why God let us walk back through the path, these valleys, places where thieves were at, reminding you sometime of what you used to be, so that we don't get so high-minded when God starts using us, so that we don't get so condescending on other people when you was doing the same stuff. Through the robbers, he takes us on these paths where we thought we'd never walk again. Revisit people that we never wanted to revisit again. Why? Some of the people changed just like you changed. You didn't think they was capable of changing. They didn't think you was capable of changing. And now you both changed. Isn't that good news? That God can change anybody. Anybody that wanna be changed, God can change anybody. And then when God changes them, he will allow us to walk right back through the things that he's trying to get us out of, so that he can lock something into us. Say, God is working on us today. He's working on us. So he'll let us do this because he's saying sometime you have to face it before you erase it. See, there are things we want to run through. And run past, we don't want to acknowledge. Yeah. Say, face it before you erase it. See, you lose the value of the experience when you try to erase it without seeing what really went on. Understanding what really happened. How did I get to this point in my life? Do you know, If you're a smart person, you will always evaluate your life no matter what stage you're in. I'm telling you. You'll always evaluate your life no matter what phase you're in, because this is how you mature. Anybody want to mature? This is how you mature in life. You face stuff. You don't just sweep it under the rug. You don't just forget about it. You don't just act like stuff didn't happen. No, you face it and then you erase it. So God will take us through this stuff, the same situations twice, so we can appreciate what he did for us. That we could see that he was with us the entire time. And God said to tell somebody this morning that you're coming out of low places. You're going to go through some valleys. You're going to go through some low places, but you're coming out of those valleys. Say, I'm coming out of depression too. Say, I'm coming into a place of change. Shout, I'm on my way back to where God wants me to be. Say, don't count me out. God is not done with me yet. See, people drop us in places because they don't see you recovering. But God saw you recovered and God showed up. Sometimes people don't want to see you recover, but then God will show up. There are times you went through things in your life where people could have helped you and they didn't want to help you, but then God showed up. They left you to spiritually die because you fell into some sin and you were supposed to be doctor, reverend, bishop, elder, whatever, but God showed up. And sometimes God had to expose who people really are so you will stop depending on them and start depending on him. They never really had your best interest at heart in the first place. Say, I'm so glad that God showed up. When I was at my worst, God showed up. When nobody wanted to help me up, God told me to get up. Tell somebody, say, get up right there. So he said to tell her, he says, God is saying, somebody, he says, get up. He's about to put your life back into a usable condition again. Put your mind back into a usable condition again. He's going to put us back into a place to where you got to get past the junk. We got to get past the hurt. Watch this, and I want to deal with this real briefly. We have to get past our own personal letdowns. Have you ever personally let yourself down? It's not that you thought highly of yourself more than you should. Sometimes we didn't think we was capable of something until we did it. Said it. Thought it. Thoughts are so powerful that sometimes you don't even have to carry it out. And he equates it as a sin. Because if you could have did it and got away with it, you would have did it. And he counts that like it's a sin. That's why he says, "For man lust after woman," it's the same thing as if he slept with him, because the thought carries the same weight as the action, because if you could have, you would have. But yet you want to beat somebody down that did, but you just couldn't get away with it, so you didn't do it. They did it, they got caught, and now you want to push them down, and God is saying, get your feet off their neck. Because the truth of it is, you just like them to some capacity. Anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? The whole thing about the personal letdowns is that condemnation. Do you know condemnation is so deadly? It is a deadly, it's a deadly because it brings forth death. Its goal is to kill off something in your life through guilt. That's why when you have a personal letdown, you have to go down so God can get you up quick. You got to go down so that God can get you up quick. You go down in repentance so God don't want us to stay there, because if you stay there, you could die there. So he'll be telling us to go down quick, repent quick, so I can get you back up. Go down quick. Don't cover it. Don't act like it's not you. Don't act like you don't have... some of the most anointed people have some of the most vile thoughts. It don't make them no worse than nobody else. The whole goal is, I think Billy Sunday said, birds are going to fly over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest on your head. You can't always control what you're thinking, because the devil is going to invade your thought. But at some point, you got to stop him from making the nest on your head. You got to do something. Anybody ever been thinking crazy? You had to shake yourself to say, this is not God. This is not godly. This is not God. This is not godly. And so you have to move past condemnation. What is condemnation? Condemnation is where the enemy will use other people. Watch this. Or he'll use us to judge us, or to declare guilt on us, or doom us to some punishment. What did he say? It's where the enemy will use other people, or he'll use you to condemn yourself, or to judge you, or to declare yourself guilty, bringing doom as a punishment on you, meaning that you can't see God doing it for you because of your past. You can't see God. Man, David was one of David had so much going on, he would be disbarred from ministry if he was preaching these days. He would have been disqualified. Because people will be looking at all the stuff that he did. Do you know why they like that? Because they don't want to acknowledge their own self-righteousness. This one, when God say you free, you got to go ahead and accept it. When God say he forgive you, you just got to go on and just be done with it. When God say that you can labor and work for him, you got to go ahead and accept the assignment. Say, I'm moving forward in God. Or say, whether you think I deserve to be here or not, you keep watching. You keep watching me. In other words, don't point out other people's guilt until all your personal mess is straight. What did he say? Don't point out other people's mess until your mess is straight. Preach from an angle. Well, what if, can you preach, cut the heat, this heat down up here from me, please. Can you preach something that you still in? Yeah. You definitely can. You shouldn't be, you should. The Bible don't tell you that. Sometimes you preaching a message to other people about their deliverance, but you can deliver it at the same time. Sometimes your answer is when you begin to help other people find their answer. Sometimes your healing show up when you help other people get their healing, but it don't happen in reverse all the time. And so you got to say, live through some stuff first. Before you start disqualifying people, say, live through some stuff first. Because the truth, we all got our own junk we're dealing with. Let me give you this. Psalms 23, he says, he restores my soul. You get anything? I'm going to be quick. He restores my soul. He leads me, what? In the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God, Christ, is the ultimate shepherd. Ultimate. He is the ultimate teacher by everything. And how many know he ain't never wrong? He's never wrong. What many of you gonna learn when you die is that Christ was always right. When he was telling you to forgive somebody, he was right and you was wrong. And it's going to explain why certain things in your life he couldn't forgive you from, because you wouldn't release other people from their stuff. When you die, you're going to figure out that Christ was right. You're going to figure out how much you got disqualified from in the earth because Christ was right. And he was trying to tell you to just live through it, because I got better for you. I got anointings for you. I got graces for you. I got healing for everything that the devil has done for you. Mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, intellectually, I got a healing for everything the devil has done to you, but you didn't want to live through it. And God is telling us today, live through it to get through it. That's how you mature. That's how you grow up. That's how you get positioned yourself for God to use you. So the good shepherd's job is not only to feed you. His job is also to help you in warfare and also help you get out of it. Do you know when you're being attacked personally? Do you know what I've learned? Most of the time, people don't know when they're going through. They don't even know. It's so subtle, and the subtlety becomes so normal that it takes sometimes somebody from the outside looking in to tell you, hey, you're going through an attack. It takes somebody else looking at you to tell you you're being demonically attacked. It's like a spiritual radar. If you've been in the military, you could be sitting right in a war zone and missiles be coming right through and you'd be sleeping through it until that radar go off to let you know you got 5 minutes to move. You got 7 minutes to move this direction or that direction to avoid what's about to happen to you. And it wasn't that you was even aware of it. Somebody else pointed it out to you. What am I telling you? God is pointing some things out to you. You need to move to the left or to the right. You need to live through some stuff. 2 Corinthians 4, please. Because as you yield our souls to Christ, he helps us with this internal warfare. He helps us with it. He helps us with the internal stuff that's going, stuff that we can't live past. You ever heard anybody say, I can't live through it? I can't live past it. I can't get over it. You should really try. You should really try. It's to your benefit that you do. One of the craziest things that happens is he makes everybody think their story is unique. And it's not unique. Your story ain't unique. Somebody done went through what you went through, lived through what you losing at, won at what you losing at. Say, God want me to be a winner too. That's why you here this morning. He wants you to be a winner too. Somebody winning at the same thing you complaining about. Somebody done got delivered from the same thing. You say, I can't break free from it. I can't stop. Somebody already delivered. And you talking about, I can't live without it. I can't live without them. They ain't never been no good for you or to you. I don't know why you even want them. Because they're demonstrating that they don't want you. So I can live without them. I can live without it. I can live without anything but Jesus Christ. I can live without you. I can live without it. I can live without anything but Jesus Christ. That's got to be your mindset. If you're going to be victorious in this war, do you want to be victorious or do you just want to be some little milly-mally Christian running around? Do you want to be an overcomer or do you just want to lick your wounds till you die? Stop licking your wounds so you can, if you pick a scab, it'll never heal. Stuff that we could heal from, if we wouldn't mess with it so much, it'll heal without a scar. Mm-hmm. God is healing scars this morning. Amen. I say God is healing scars this morning. You're not going to be all scarred up. God is healing scars this morning. Deep-seated stuff. Stuff that you don't want to talk about. Stuff you're trying to say, face it so you can erase it. Don't be weak your whole life. 2 Corinthians 4. People say, he called me weak. The Bible calls people weak. In Thessalonians, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians 5, Paul tells Timothy to strengthen the weak-minded. The weak-minded. That's not an insult. That's an indication that if your mind and soul is weak, it's going to impair your healing. The Wall Street Journal had an article. And the doctor had ran, what do they call it when they monitor in groups of people? I'll just say case studies because that's all I can come up with. But he was talking about the comparison between people who live and people who die. Mm-hmm. And he says, there was a woman that was chronically ill unto death with hours to live, and she walks out the hospital after a few months. Another person that had a situation that they should have lived from, and they died. And he said, through his observation of studying cases like this, he was like, it was as simple as one person having a fighting spirit. They wanted to live, they wanted to change, they wanted to overcome, and then people who don't. Now, what would do that? What would do that? What would help a person develop that type of mentality? Somebody moving alongside them, or simply the Holy Ghost moving beside them and working on their mind, telling them, you're going to get up today. You're going to be able to move this leg today. You're going to be able to move this leg tomorrow. You're going to be able to sit up in comparison to somebody believing that I'm going to die like this. Say, I'm going to live and not die. So I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to recover. I'm going to recover it all. I'm going to recover my strength. I'm going to recover my mind. I'm going to recover my marriage. Everything that the devil took from me, I'm going to make sure that I get it back. Before I leave this life, I'm getting back everything that the devil done took from me. Everything. And it comes down to a person wanting to and desiring and understanding when my soul is weak. That means that if it's weak, I can strengthen it. How you strengthen it? You strengthen it with the word of God. You strengthen it by hearing somebody encourage you, and then you respond to the encouragement. You can do it. You strengthen yourself by getting down on your face sometime and allowing God to just talk to you and let him know that he's an ever-present help in your time of trouble. You strengthen yourself by allowing God to be God. Say, God is for me three times. He's for me. People say, you insult me. I'm not insulting to you. He says, you have to tell people. When you're weak, you're just weak. Do something about it. You can do something about it. Until our souls are strengthened, we don't mature. We don't grow. We don't become the person, the man or the woman that God wants us to be, because we won't challenge ourselves in our non-growth areas. Do you know what your non-growth areas are? You got to acknowledge them. And then you put pressure on them. He says in 16, for which cause what? We faint not. Say, I'm not quitting. I ain't quitting. He says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is doing what? It's renewed day by day. Your soul is renewed day by day. Your soul is renewed, Sister Palmer, day by day. So all this quick fix stuff that people be looking for, you got 20 years of mess behind you. You done invested 365 years towards this mess for 20 years, and then you want it cleaned up in one day, but your soul is renewed day by day. Every day that you get up, you apply pressure on what you come from, and then you are changing into the very image of God. How are you doing it? Day by day. I may not be what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Day by day, I'm going towards what God has called me to be. I'm moving in the right direction. And that's what God said to tell somebody else. You're moving in the right direction. Don't listen to these devils. Don't listen to these devils telling you that you're not. Don't listen to these demons telling you that you ain't changing. You are changing. You may not be changing at the pace that they want you to, but you are changing. Say, I'm changing day by day. Say, mind your own business. Say, I'm changing day by day. God is working on me. I don't need your stinking help. Mind your own business. So I am changing. So I'm not what I used to be. That's got to be your mindset. You change day by day. I'm not perfect today, but I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to put my best effort forward. I'm changing. And so when you think like that, it does something to your spirit. And God said, tell the devil, he said, that don't let people or the devil make light of your progress. So I'm changing. He says, just because it's not what folks want to see doesn't mean nothing is happening. Now, why would he say that? Sometime God will have us. It looked like we still dealing with the same junk. But the truth of it is that I may have messed it up. So God don't tell you to just get up and walk away. Sometimes you have to clean up what you messed up. And in the eyes of people, it may look like you still dealing with it, but you actually, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, cleaning up what you messed up. So I got to apologize to some people. I got to tell some people, you know what? I did you wrong. I wasn't right when I said this. I wasn't acting right when I did that. I'm cleaning up my mess. I'm still going to break away from you, but I'm cleaning up my mess. Say, I'm changing. Day by day.
Day by day.
And so as you're maturing, you don't just walk away from messes that you create. Mature people don't walk away from what they did. You know, I was dealing with one of our foster boys. His go-to is, I didn't do it. And I got to break that. Because he'll become a man with the same mentality. He'll justify everything as somebody else's fault. There is no maturity when there is no responsibility claimed. When people don't take responsibility, you're witnessing immaturity. So like, what's wrong with a person going back 10 years and apologizing to somebody? That's maturity. It's not that I just tell you, yeah, I did it, but okay, get over it. If I'm mature, I come to her and I repent for what I did, how I acted. You follow what I'm saying? But I don't just say, forget about it. It's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
If a person takes that posture, they're immature. How many know it's time for the church to grow up? God can't do what he needs to do in the body of Christ because so many people are so spiritually and naturally immature. Do you know we could be at the same age as far as time God has allotted us on the earth, but we could literally be 25 years apart. Well, let me explain. A person that doesn't grow, even though we're the same age, you ever seen a person that's 35 or 37, and when you talk to them, you swear you're talking to somebody 23? Yes. Their mind functions like a 23-year-old person or a 22-year-old person. And here you are, you're 40, and you think more along the lines of a 50-year-old person. Your maturity, you've learned from what you went through in life. You think from a 50-something-year-old person. And so when you deal with them, it's like you're dealing with a 25-year-old, and I'm thinking like a 50-year-old. There's a 25. Tell somebody, close the gaps, close the gaps, close the gaps. If you want a fellowship with me, close the gaps. But we got to grow up as the body. You done live through some stuff. Let my maturity, let your maturity match your age, spiritually and naturally. He says in 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So is soul restoration needed in this day and age? Man. Man. Soul restoration is needed. Like bad. From the time most of us was handled as kids, people have been dropping you, Mephibosheth. People have been injuring you. People have been crippling you. Some of us cripple our kids because we do everything for them. Some of us are making our boys women because we raise them like they're sensitive to everything. And rather than making them, developing them as men, you're making men, normal men, be function like a woman, process like a woman, because you won't let him go through anything as a boy. So how he gonna cover somebody? Because you're treating him like he's a girl. And so soul restoration has to happen to let him know you're a boy, you God's man, you can be wounded and you can still fight. You got a sword, you got a shield, you got a helmet. You got the strength of God behind you. Use what you got, mighty man of God. I know they tried to cripple you and made you feel like you was depleted. I know your wife may have emasculated you and made you feel less than a man, but you're a man. Say, I'm God's man. You still God's man. And even though they try to rob you of your spiritual ability, they cannot take what God put in you. If it's in you, it's in you until you die. Tap into what God put in you and live through whatever you done went through. Say live through it three times. If you're going to be wholly committed unto God, we got to have soul restoration. If our souls are not renewed, if they're not whole, man, you're going to have so many holes in your life. You're going to have so many holes in your life. So many things that could have been testimonies and things that God would have rewarded us for. It's a hole to you. Big old gaping hole. And God is trying to close some holes in our lives. Pull some stuff together. It ain't like he gonna fill the hole. He just gonna pull your holes together. Tighten up the way you think. Pull your holes together. Tighten up the things that used to hurt you. They don't hurt you no more. Pull your holes together. When you think back over your life, you ain't bleeding no more. He gonna stitch your holes. Pull your holes together. He not just gonna overlook them and tell you to step over them. Say, God, pulling my holes together. In other words, when you're going through restoration, he said you gotta be willing to look away from the seen to the unseen sometimes. You gotta be able to look to a place in God to where you're going to be okay. You know you're going to be okay. Look to a place in God where you know you're going to be okay. Psalms 27. I'm going to stop right here. I think my time is up. So, anybody glad you done lived through some stuff? I don't wish I had nobody else's life. I don't. Really, it's disrespect towards God if he'd been ordering your steps and you wish you had somebody else's life. People always want other people's story, but they don't know what they did to get it. Just because they wasn't flaunting their wounds and they knew how to clean their blood up off of their body before they went in public don't mean that they wasn't wounded. Amen. They got hurt just like you. They just learned how to live through it. Live for a better day. And they were in this place in God because you can only do this kind of stuff in God. And I don't wish I was nobody else. I don't wish I was some other preacher. I don't wish I had their congregations because I don't know what their responsibilities are. I don't know how much time they have to give up to do this. And again, the older you get, you lose the desire for stuff that you thought in your youth you couldn't live without. And people will give up walking with God to chase something that when they catch it, they don't even want it no more. So I'd rather have Jesus. God has ordered our steps in such a manner that I knew, I look at my life, only God could have put it together like this. As an 18 and 19 year old kid, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't even know what I was good at. I didn't even know what I was good at. And he had to take me away from home to show me what I was good at, what he was calling me to. Not what I love. Most of the time, what you love ain't always what God called you to. I loved basketball. I played not one NBA game. See, you can be in love with something that has nothing to do with what God has for your life. And so I'm okay with my life. It's not perfect. When you look at perfection in the form of other people, but I know where God done brought me from. I know what it's like to live through things as a saved man while you're struggling through things, and then God bring you all the way through And then you look back and say, man, God not only kept me, he covered me. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to live through disappointment. I know what it's like to live through death. Like some people think that can't nobody tell them nothing about death when they lose somebody. If they were saved, you ain't lost them. You should know exactly where they at. And they ain't in the graveyard. Stop visiting graveyards, talking to dead people because they ain't there. But I know what it's like to lose people that you love. It makes you, it changes you. From parents to godsons, eulogized two of my godkids, granddaughter. And you just live through it. Every year ain't a depression season for me. Because I done lived through it. I know what it's like to have heartache and things go on in your marriage. We still together. You live through it. You live through it. And people be complaining about stuff. Watch this, Sister Kim, that they ain't really put no effort in even changing. No real effort into trying to live right for God. I struggle in my walk with God. This is just Christianity. Living this walk is so hard because you ain't putting no effort into it. It's a struggle for you because you give too much time to the enemy and not enough to God. So in Psalms, what did I say, 27, David said once this, I would have fainted. I'd have quit. I'd have passed out. If I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord, whereabout? In the land of the living. I would have passed out. I would have quit years ago if I didn't live through enough to know that God was going to be with me and come through for me. Say, I shall not lack. I shall not want. Whatever you up against right now, that's a deficiency in your life, whether it's natural, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial, whether it's in your soul realm right now, God is feeling that lack in you. Every Sunday that you show up, God is feeling that deficit in your life. You are becoming a different man. You're becoming a different woman. You're moving into your destiny. Every week you step closer to finding out and living out what God really created you to do. And then David says, wait on the Lord. How are you going to do it? With good courage. Good courage, good faith. I keep my faith sharp. I keep my faith encouraged. I keep myself encouraged. Why? And God shall strengthen thine heart. Then he says it again. He emphasizes this on purpose. Wait on the Lord. A lot of the stuff that we're in a rush to, even in ministry, you're not ready for it. Just wait on the Lord. A lot of stuff, he emphasizes this. He starts to send us off by saying, wait on the Lord. Keep your faith strong. Keep your faith in God strong. And then he says it again, wait on the Lord, I say. Why is he saying that? You ain't ready yet. Just keep staying with God. God is never going to be wrong. He never going to do something out of season. He never going to bless you in the wrong season. He never going to do certain things when it's out of his timing. Say, wait on the Lord three times. God know what he doing with your life. He knows what he's doing. If we'll let him order our steps, we would never go wrong. We will never be disappointed. Most of my disappointment in my personal life has been because I thought I knew more than what God knew. And people don't want to say that. How do you know you think that? You hear God and you still do what you want to do. How can you hear God and still do? Can you hear God and still do what you want to do? Yeah, I've done it. He done brought you a mighty long way. Go all the way. Amen. We're standing. He done brought you a mighty long way. Go all the way. You're in a good place in God if you just keep going with Him. Hallelujah. I'm in a good place with God. I'm happy when I look out and I see where most of you done come from. I seen most of you when you showed up and I see you now. And I'm watching change. You know, when you always in somebody's face or if you live with a person, you may not always see it. But when you can see people sometime from a distance, you see God working in their heart, working in their homes, working in their marriages. Some not the same. Come on, lift your hands up towards the heavens. Hey, I wasn't going to do no altar call, but if you need, you can put your hands down for a second. If you want me to come in agreement with you today, maybe you got something that you feel like you can't live through. Come on. We're going to touch and agree with you real quick. It ain't going to be no long altar call. If you got to go, bye. We'll see you next week. But if you want somebody to pray with you, touch and agree with you, we're here.